Coming up on podcast 1294, BMW i4 customer deliveries are beginning. That's great news for those early customers. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, an amazing initiative in Spain that if we did it everywhere would pretty much solve a lot of EV charging problems. Renault give one of their vans a bigger battery, and Hyundai want to get into Tesla's game, I'll explain. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. Last day of the month, Tuesday, 30th of November. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every EV story, so you don't have to, and I think there's about 800 stories I flicked through today in my news feed to bring you just what you need to know today and to block out the noise. By the way, we decorated our house with our Christmas decorations today because our little lad is just starting to understand Christmas. It'll be the first Christmas that he understands, you know, who Santa is. And so we got the lights up today and the tinsel decorations. That's what we've been doing today and feeling very festive as well as for a family activity. Now let's kick off with the news about China and their subsidies. Always, whenever China does anything like this, we need to pay attention because it is the world's biggest EV market. China plans to appropriate $6 billion worth of subsidies next year to subsidise projects for things like cutting carbon emissions and saving energy, according to a notice issued by the Ministry of Finance in China, says Gasgoo.com. China hopes the new energy vehicle sales, their EV sales in other words, will get to 20% of all new car sales in 2025. Now, 20% would be a massive number for China, given how big their car market is. Now, that was the plan as of about a year ago, November 2020, the last I know. First 10 months of the year this year, of 2021, in China, new energy vehicle sales were 12%. But what's that in numbers? It's about 2.5 million units of zero emission vehicles. They include hydrogen in there as well. I think plug-in hybrids are in the NEV category in China, correct me if I'm wrong. So a ways to go, but still, like first, bulk of this year, not too much is going to change for the end of the year, apart from selling more EVs. And that's just a huge number to have 2.5 million new EVs on the road. Just fantastic in China. All right, let's move on to the next story today. And we are talking about an initiative in Spain that, when this came across my desk earlier today, absolutely loved this story. And you realise, well, this could be done everywhere. Around 1,000 Spanish petrol stations are being forced to install EV charge DC rapid EV charge points. The government of Spain are moving forward with their strategy for the growth of EVs in Spain. And the proposal was released into the public by the Ministry of Environment. I think it's Miteco or Miteco. This included a ministerial order that establishes a list of fuel supply facilities according to the size of them, along with the fuels required to install EV charging infrastructure and the exceptions and technical impossibilities for its fulfillment in smaller stations. So more than 1,000 petrol stations across Spain, those are the ones with sales of more than 5 million litres of gasoline and diesel per year. All relevant weight, must install at least one charging point for EVs. So if you're going to install a charging point and you're going to be doing some groundworks, you're going to be digging things up, if you're doing some electrical work, maybe there's some substation work to do, well, chances are that when you're doing all that, you might as well just put in the capacity for more than one charger. So if you're putting in one 150 kilowatt fast charger, well, if you're doing all of the cabling, well, the incremental cost to maybe put in 4 or 8, when you look at what that return could be on that investment, be a really interesting thing to watch. Now, I can't predict it, but I love this. Within a period of 21 months from when the law goes into force, that is, well, February 23 is the deadline, service stations then with sales of more than 10 million litres of petrol and diesel must also install a charger. Now, this is fantastic news, and I don't know why more places couldn't do this. Maybe it's something that suits the culture of Spain or the industry or the ownership structure of filling stations. Just brilliant news that if they can mandate that, to say if you want to carry on having a licence to sell petrol and diesel, you've also got to sell electricity, That's brilliant news. 1,000 of them. Well, sorry, 1,000 locations. So that could be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 DC fast chargers of at least 150 kilowatts. Great news if you're in the charger selling business, if you're in Spain. In fact, if you're anywhere, it's a global business. I'd be on the phone to, hello, is that Spain? I'd like to sell you some chargers, please. Right, moving on. Here in the UK, the National Highways are going to start trying out battery storage. The UK government have said that around 20 energy storage systems are going to be deployed at service stations where the grid supply is not sufficient to support high power charging stations. My goodness me, it's the bane of my life. There is a charging station that is, for me, really convenient. It's heading as I go up to London. It's on the M27. It's called Rownham Services. Rownham's north and south, actually, when I'm coming home. Really, really good for me to charge at. And yes, they have a McDonald's there for my 99 pence regular black coffee. But it's only got one charger. And even though GridServe have taken over, GridServe are doing amazing things. And yeah, I'm really jealous of places like the Rugby Hub. And well, certainly, of course, their main, you know, Braintree facility. But either way, you know, the last few times I've gone past that charger and needed to charge there, somebody's been on it. Because there's just one charging station. And why? It's got to be the power. It has to be the power supply. Because otherwise GridServe would have put two chargers in, as they have done pretty much most places. So it was a like-for-like, one-for-one, but still, bane of my life. So, National Highways are investing £11 million and discussing possibilities with suppliers. The next 2 years are going to see this plan in place to install giant battery units connecting the motorway service operators' charge points. I would imagine these would be Tesla megapacks. I can't think of too many others in the business that would be ready to go. Malcolm Wilkinson is the head of energy for National Highways, and he said this: whilst we have limited control over the number of petrol and diesel cars on the network, by supporting the expansion of the rapid charge point network, we hope to increase EV drivers' confidence for all types of journey, both long and short, he said. Yeah, you know, it's about confidence, isn't it? It's about, you know, if I'm going somewhere, this week we're going to be talking more about Osprey opening up a hub using the Kempower technology. It's going to be in Wolverhampton. I was hoping to get there, but I think, new COVID rules here as of today, so we're just being a bit more careful before Christmas. I might not make the journey now, but either way, that's great. I think it's 4 or 6 chargers they've put in there. But either way, it's great when a new kind of mini hub opens, if you like, 4, 6, 8 chargers, because you just know that even if they're all in use, someone's going to be getting to 80%. And in theory, when they're at 80%, they should be leaving. I've seen lots of EVs lately charging. Someone yesterday, funny enough, an Instavolt station at a Starbucks. The guy was sitting there. He was in a Peugeot E208. I pulled in, and there's two chargers. I was the third car, so I was waiting. But it's okay, because I could get a coffee at Starbucks. It was no problem. But he was like 96% in his Peugeot E208. And I don't know, I'm not a very confrontational guy, but I think if it had gone on much longer and he left after I was waiting, maybe he was just, you know, I don't know. But really, what are you doing on a DC fast charging station at 96%? Like, you know, leave at 80 or 85, 90 if you must, but man, oh man. Okay, moving on. BMW i4 customers are getting their vehicles. Customer deliveries of the first i4s began in Germany, in their home market, Munich, actually, over the weekend, 3 months earlier than originally planned, which is brilliant. Bernhard Kunt, careful how I say that. Well, there's no other way, is there? Senior Vice President of BMW Group Market in Germany said that demand for the i4 is very, very high. Bernhard's surname, of course, spelt with a K. On the occasion, BMW i4 owners were invited to an accompanying program around the fully electric Grand Coupe in Munich, according to InsideEVs.com. The BMW i4 is available in two variants at launch. There's a single motor i4 eDrive 40 and a dual motor i4 M50. If you can afford it, obviously go for the M50. It's fire-breathing and amazing. Both feature the same battery pack, 84 kilowatt-hour gross, 80.7 net, if you like. So not a huge buffer on that. I probably wouldn't charge that to 100% every day. Just for battery longevity. Estimated range around 300 miles for the lower-powered one, the i4 eDrive 40. 245 miles for the larger motor, dual motor M50. But yeah, still get that one. With the BMW i4, we have absolutely struck a chord, they say. You can see this from a very high demand for the car. We are delighted to be expanding our electrified product lineup with this sporty, fully electric Grand Coupe at the right time to present the first vehicles to our customers today, 3 months earlier than planned, said BMW. The first delivery of the BMW i4 today and the first iX happens next week. That's mega news. Further milestones, according to BMW. One of my friends has an i4. I have not asked his permission to say who it is, and he doesn't want me talking about his cars. I don't know. Or maybe he's cool. But one of my friends is expecting an i4 M50. Ordered it a long time ago. Man, I'm jealous because I can't wait to have a ride in that. I may have to go visit him because it's one of my favourite cars of the year. I was going to say of 2022. It was meant to be a car next year, but it's being delivered this year. Staying with BMW, the BMW Group is introducing their e-drive zones to 20 more cities, Copenhagen, Verona and Toulouse. This means that now 138 cities in Europe are now mapped and benefiting from e-drive zones. It's expected to be rolled out in 30 more cities before the end of the year. What is it? Well, an e-drive zone, it's BMW's own city centre mapping, where if you have a BMW plug-in hybrid, and there's some really good BMW plug-in hybrid, wouldn't be for me, I'm fully electric these days, but I understand why people want to buy them. It automatically switches to all-electric driving mode when you cross the boundary to the inner city area. The plug-in hybrid models drive emission-free when they're in the middle of cities, like pure EVs, of course, and with low fuel costs, as electric motors are more efficient than combustion cars, that's perfect for low-speed, inner-city driving. These vehicles recognise the designated areas using GPS. The automated e-drive feature is standard in many plug-in hybrids that BMW sell now. And drivers get bonus points for every mile and kilometre driven in an e-drive zone on pure electric power. So if you're wondering where they've added Aberdeen, Bregenz, Brescia, Bristol, Cambridge, Cardiff, Copenhagen, Cork, Coventry, Florence, Klagenfurt, Lille, Naples, Oxford, Sheffield, Toulouse, Verona, and some more as well. So, you know, across Europe there, which is fantastic news. Of course, it doesn't mean that if you are driving that car, then you can expect to avoid any of those inner city zones, which also charge anything but a pure EV for driving into those areas. Often they're called, low emission zones or anything like that. Because your car will be registered with the authorities as a combustion car. It's a plug-in hybrid. So because if your battery runs out, the engine has to start. So you can't drive into that area saying, well, hey, I want electricity. So I shouldn't have to pay the whatever it is, €10, £10 to get into that zone every day. Well, actually, if you run out of battery, your engine's going to kick on and you're going to start spewing. So it doesn't work like that, but still good news that they're doing this. Right, coming up very soon, we'll talk about Hyundai getting into Tesla turf and why Tesla withdrawing their application for some subsidies. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Okay, now let's talk the Renault van, Renault Master ZE. If you think Ford Transit, because you'll be able to picture one of those in your head. Yeah, basically that's the Renault Master ZE. Getting a big upgrade, actually. The fully electric Renault Master ZE is getting a much bigger battery and range for the 2022 vehicle. The van has 52 kilowatt hour batteries now. The battery range has gone up to 52 from 33. It should never have been 33 kilowatt hours for a van. So 52 is better, not great. The new capacity means that the effective range is 190 kilometers of WLTP range, city cycle range of 244 kilometres. And when you think about what that van could be used for, if you run your delivery last mile in a city, then 190 kilometres is overkill, right? Because you'll know your planned route down to the millimetre and where your driver is going to be delivering that Amazon parcel, etc. So if you need to do 50 kilometres, then still, that's great news for those kind of routes. And oh my goodness, are we getting a lot of deliveries at the minute ahead of Christmas. And yes, they are always arriving in a stinky diesel. But I don't live in the city. I don't live in the sticks, you know. So we're in a town. But still, we'd love to see those vehicles electric. They will be one day. Hyundai next are stepping on Tesla's turf. And that is a car maker that wants to be known as an energy solar storage company and want to sell you all those things as well. Hyundai unveiling their home energy ecosystem, EV charging, solar panels, home energy storage. It's called Hyundai Home, and it will provide a one-stop shopping solution for Hyundai customers. And they said in a press release that it's going to launch in 2022. A service integrating home chargers, solar panels on your roof, a battery in your garage could be a great complement to the Arniq 5, their new car. Charging an EV from home solar reduces the overall carbon footprint, after all, of that vehicle, unless you do buy, I suppose, you know, 100% renewable energy like I do with Octopus. The Arniq 5 also has bidirectional capability, so you could discharge some power into that Hyundai battery pack in your garage or maybe under your stairs when you need to. Now, I'm interested. The launch of Hyundai Home builds on their previous hints that the Arniq sub-brand will be used for more than just cars. And now we get to find out more. According to Green Car Reports, the Arniq 5 itself will be available through an innovative lease that lets you try before you buy. They said that research indicates EV buyers are big users of subscription services, so a different leasing model is worth trying, they say. Yeah, subscription services like, Onto, who Rob Jolly has been on this podcast before. He's the co-founder of Onto, and I can attest to how easy that service is to use. Goodness, this time last year, December last year, they said, hey, can we send you a Jaguar I-Pace and try out the service completely free of charge and say what you want? It can be good or bad. And I said, well, okay, as long as you're not asking me to say nice things, you can send me a car. And yeah, needless to say, I rather liked the the Jaguar I-Pace. That was the one that arrived with about 16 miles on it. Came straight from the factory, from Magna, off the boat and arrived at my house. That was a very lovely thing for them to do. And I became a customer after that. What do we have this year that we enjoyed? The VW ID3 from Onto, that was nice. The Kona from Onto, that was also good as well. Right, let's talk about Tesla withdrawing their application in subsidies for a German grant which they had put in. Tesla withdrawing their application for $1 billion of subsidies for the battery production bit of Giga Berlin. According to Electrek, a spokesperson for the Germany Economy Ministry confirmed that Tesla had withdrawn their application for $1 billion of subsidies for the battery bits they're making there. After the news came out, Elon Musk made a comment that suggested Tesla withdrew the application because it doesn't want subsidies. Well, the Financial Times went into the details of the program, and actually the Financial Times pointed out that there's a clause that might be the cause of the withdrawal. The company, according to the agreement, would not be eligible for the funds, the subsidies, if they had already deployed another battery production centre at any other plant, according to the Financial Times. Well, according to Times of India, they suggested that ongoing delays in getting approval to start production at Giga Berlin would make Tesla ineligible for the subsidies because they would more likely open Texas before Berlin. Okay, that's an interesting theory. Then if it's true or not, put forward by a reputable newspaper there. Make of it what you will. But of course, I guess if they're still not looking at any kind of, I mean, people, every Tesla, you know, the Tesla blogs, every week they're saying, hey, approval is just around the corner for Berlin. I mean, and it could be, but we don't know. It should have been opened by now. So if it's going to be another 6 months before a car comes out of Berlin, then Texas will be open, batteries made there, and they wouldn't be eligible for that German subsidy if that's the agreement they signed. So I don't know. Hey, wait and see. Right, Tesla in Berlin should be open this year, according to the industry website Electrive. They say that they want to get final approval before the end of the year. Now, a few days ago, three Model Ys were seen on the factory's test track in Germany. But that doesn't mean anything, right? Because anyone can build three cars. Well, not anyone. I couldn't. But you know, it's easy to build three cars in the US and ship them over. You could even hand-build three Model Ys. For Tesla, that's no issue, right? So it doesn't mean that they're making cars in Berlin. It just means that they were seen on the test track. Automobile Vosch, the publication in Germany, assumes an estimated 30,000 Model Ys for the first 6 months of the year. So they're saying, well, you know, maybe it could end up at being 1,000 vehicles a week coming out of that facility to begin with. We'll have to wait and see. That doesn't seem unrealistic considering what happened at Giga Shanghai. But again, the Giga Shanghai facility was very much making a slightly better, an iterative version of Model Y out of Fremont. Model Y Germany is going to be using, oh, if it does use the structural battery pack, an entirely new production process, so maybe ramping would be a little slower. But then again, Tesla are getting damn good at production. I wouldn't be surprised if that ramped quickly. And finally, Elon Musk telling employees via a recent memo that they don't need to sprint to make deliveries by the end of the quarter. And that is a bit of a U-turn on, well, every end of quarter in the history of Tesla. He said, instead, focus on minimizing costs, CNBC reports. Now, I wonder if that means that towards the end of the quarter, they were like, okay, just spend the money, but get the cars delivered. In the memo delivered on November 26th, Elon Musk wrote that he doesn't want the company spending heavily to expedite cars, overtime, temporary contractors, just to get a car in customers' hands by the end of the year. He said, what has happened historically is that we sprint like crazy at the end of a quarter to maximize deliveries, but deliveries drop massively in the first weeks of the next quarter. In effect, looked at over a six-month period, we won't have delivered any extra cars, but we'll have spent extra money and burned ourselves out to accelerate deliveries in the last 2 weeks of each quarter. According to TheVerge.com, they say that CNBC's article noted that Tesla hasn't released a clear delivery target for 2021 or an updated one, but they want to increase their deliveries on 50% on an annual basis. They delivered 500,000 cars last year, so they've done 627,000 cars so far. Well, the first three quarters of the year. It's very achievable to do 800,000 or 850,000 cars. We'll wait and see. It's just amazing numbers, isn't it, coming out of Tesla? It's just, you know, from where they've come from, just before too long. Next year will be a million cars. Next year will easily smash a million cars, which is brilliant. Amazing news. And everyone, a pure electric car, of course. In his recent memo, Elon Musk went on to say that the company will experience a large delivery wave at the end of December, as shipments from California and China are reaching the east coast of the US and Europe for delivery, but wanted to reduce the size of these waves in the future. Makes sense, doesn't it? With new facilities opening in Germany and Texas, I can smooth things out a bit. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Which EV makers do you think are going to be on Santa's naughty and nice lists? And tell me why you want to put a certain car maker on a naughty list or a nice list. Give me your reasons as well. I'd love to hear them. Email me your suggestions. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks so much to our premium partners of the podcast. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK and making some cracking YouTube videos as well, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.